Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this.
You just watched the market close in Shanghai. New York doesn't open for a couple of hours, so there's time to fit in a session at the gym, squeeze in a haircut, go hit a few balls at the driving range, shoot off some emails, and maybe even breakfast across town. And you'll still be the first one in the office. You're always ready to go the extra mile. Fortunately, so is your Cadillac. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts make sure your Cadillac is as ready to go as you are.
For a limited time, get a $100 mail-in rebate debit card on a set of four select brand-name tires at your Cadillac dealer. See participating dealer for eligible tire brands and details. Rebate form must be postmarked by June 30th, 2014. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery of debit card. Offer ends May 31st, 2014.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning. America's First News with Gordon Deal.
Putting a leash on domestic spying. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Friday, May 23rd, welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
A bill that would curb the telephone surveillance program at the NSA has easily cleared the House. Find out the process that would change the most.
In the face of criticism at home and abroad, U.S. military officials want to publicly defend drone strikes.
A wildfire in the Southwest known as the Slide Fire is threatening scenic parts of Arizona. Thousands may have to evacuate.
And the Pentagon considers extending a fast-track program for citizenship.
The idea of the program is to attract immigrants or legal immigrants, but who do not have green cards in the United States, but who have strategic languages that the military is looking for, languages that are unusual, like Azerbaijani, or languages that are spoken in the mountains of Afghanistan or in Pakistan.
Wall Street Journal reporter Miriam Jordan on what supporters and detractors of the program are saying. It's due to expire at the end of September. She explains it in about 20 minutes. It's time for a morning brief, and it's brought to you by CSX Corporation. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Top military officials are pressing for permission to publicly defend American drone strikes against criticism in the U.S. and overseas. The issue has come to a head after the military concluded last year that long-standing U.S. secrecy surrounding drone operations has bolstered support for al-Qaeda in places like Yemen. More from Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes with this exclusive story. Julian, what does Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel want?
Is making a push for the U.S. to be more transparent about military drone strikes. Right now, the U.S. tends to be very closed-mouthed about these operations, not revealing very many details and generally not talking about them publicly. But that's created a situation where military officials believe the information war is being ceded to America's enemies, giving them the upper hand in describing what happened in controversial strikes.
Are we likely to see a policy change?
Well, it's hard to tell. There seems to be a lot of momentum within the military to be more transparent about these operations. A year ago, President Obama made a speech saying he wanted to talk about these more publicly. But the drone strikes that are carried out by the CIA are covert. The U.S. officials aren't allowed to talk about them. So a broader shift would likely require more of these strikes to be carried out by the military and fewer by the CIA. Those discussions are ongoing, and we don't yet know if there's going to be an agreement to shift more of the strikes to the military.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. Would this make it more difficult to use drones when deemed necessary?
Well, you know, military officials say that in cases where secrecy and deniability need to be preserved. In the case of Yemen, the CIA would continue to carry out the strikes. They want to keep the CIA involved, have the CIA use its drones to to hunt and identify targets and just hand off to the military when it comes time to actually launch a missile. Military officials say that will give flexibility to the whole process.
What role does the recent information on a strike in Yemen play here?
Under pressure from members of Congress, the Obama administration has agreed to release a legal memo outlining the justification for targeting and striking at U.S. citizens abroad. Senator Rand Paul and others have made this a cause, questioning the legal rationale, asking for this memo to be released. The author of the memo, David Barron, is up for an appellate judgeship, and the controversy around that has force administration's hand.
Thanks, Julian. Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. Well, the House has passed a bill overhauling the National Security Agency's telephone surveillance program. It's the first legislative action since spying revelations were leveled by former government contractor Edward Snowden last year. The bill would restructure the way the NSA collects and searches Americans' phone records as it investigates terrorism. So instead of collecting millions of our phone records in a giant bunch, the NSA will ask phone companies to query their databases for connections to suspicious phone numbers. Wisconsin Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner supports the measure.
As a result of the Freedom Act passing the House, the NSA might still be watching us, but now we can watch them. And we means all of us, not just members of Congress and our staffs.
The bill now moves to the Senate. Harley Geiger, senior counsel for the Center for Democracy and Technology, is calling for changes for when the Senate takes up the bill. He says the ban on bulk collection was deliberately watered down to be ambiguous and exploitable. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
By 2025, it's estimated that half the world's population will lack access to safe drinking water. A sorry state of affairs as two-thirds of our planet is covered by water. We are helping develop solutions for salt water to satisfy the thirst of future generations. BASF, the chemical company.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint.com. Did you know that Vistaprint.com creates all their business card designs in-house? They have a talented team, and you should see how amazing their designs are. And right now, they're offering a great deal. Get 250 of their high-quality premium cards today for only $10. That includes shipping. Here's how it works. First, you pick your industry and your card. Then you start designing. This is the really cool part. You can change just about anything. Fonts, colors, text size, even the location of your text. You can add maps, images, and tables. You can even add your logo or photo. Or if you've created your own design, you can upload that and print it. There are so many options. Then just when you think you've created the best card ever, you get to personalize the backside. To get 250 premium business cards for $10, including shipping, just go to Vistaprint.com and put the promotional code WSJ in your cart to get this offer. Remember, that's 250 premium cards for only 10 bucks. Just go to Vistaprint.com and put the promotional code WSJ in your cart to get this offer. Flashback 2 years. Mitt Romney lost Michigan by 9 points in the 2012 presidential election. Tough to swallow, right? He's a native son. But now the Republican Party is taking lessons from that smackdown to make the state a leading laboratory for retooling the party's ground game. Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt says the GOP is trying to fill deficits the election exposed in voter data, technology, and outreach to minorities and young people. She joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Beth, what's up here?
You know, logistics are one important part of it. You know, if you are not targeting the right voters, mobilizing your base, reaching out to the folks that you might be able to persuade, you know, you end up spending a lot, wasting a lot of money. So that's a big part of the equation. And that's the part of the equation they can work on as a state party. What is left up to sort of chance and what we'll see happen over the next couple of years is what the message and what the candidate will look like. obviously the state party can't control that. But what they're trying to do is what is in their control as far as voter contact, as far as the collection of data on these voters, trying to make those as efficient and as up-to-date as possible so that when they do have a candidate and a message in 2016, they can hit the ground running.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt about can the GOP retool its ground game in Michigan. So what has the GOP been lacking there? You know, with what groups is it not connecting, for example?
Well, it's the same groups, you know, the Republican Party is having problems with nationwide. Minorities, there's a very large African-American population in the Detroit area that it, you know, hasn't been able to peel many votes from that. Unmarried women, young voters, the same groups that the party is trying to reach nationwide. So they're focusing on those groups in Michigan. They're recruiting, for example, college students, and not just then sending those college students into the suburbs to knock on doors, but to actually do the organizing on their own campus. And this was an idea that was really executed by the Obama campaigns, the idea of sort of peer-to-peer networking. You know, a college student talks to someone who lives in his dorm. A woman talks to the person she goes to church with. That these folks are more persuasive than just the cold call from the phone bank in the, you know, campaign office.
Wow. Can it work? Is there evidence they feel that this will help them?
Well, I think, you know, the races in Michigan this year, the governor's race and the U.S. Senate race, look very competitive. And if they're able to win them, that will certainly be a good boost of momentum. And it, these races also allow them to sort of test out their technology and their tactics and be able to say, okay, that worked, but that didn't. And so ideally, that would put them in good shape for 2016.
So this is on the U.S. Senate side, Carl Levin's seat.
Exactly.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, it's an open seat. You have a Democratic congressman running against a Republican woman who had served as Secretary of State. The polls are tight. The fundraising is fairly tight. And in the governor's race, you have the incumbent Republican, Rick Snyder, running against a Democratic congressman, has challenged him, Mark Schauer. Both of those races are going to be intense and hard-fought and expensive.
Thanks, Beth. Wall Street Journal reporter Beth Reinhardt. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. Fire officials in Arizona say thousands of residents may be forced to evacuate as crews battle the so-called slide fire along a scenic corridor in the northern part of the state. Incident Commander Danny Montoya with the Flagstaff Fire Department stressed the seriousness of the situation.
We really want to try to not implement either a pre-evacuation or an evacuation unless it's absolutely necessary.
The fire started Tuesday and has scorched more than 4,800 acres. Tennessee is bringing back the electric chair as an execution option if lethal injection drugs are unavailable. The last time it used the electric chair was 2007. Various states have had problems obtaining the drugs for lethal injection because many drug firms object to the use of their products in executions. More job cuts are coming to Hewlett-Packard, which plans to cut as many as 16,000 positions. That's on top of the 34,000 previously announced. These reductions come under a multi-year restructuring. HP has grappled with stiff competition and changes in its industry. Stock futures are edging higher after the Dow yesterday gained 10 points. The NASDAQ added 23. The S&P 500 gained 4. Small cap stocks rebounded some, although trading volumes have been light this week. Overseas today, Asian markets edged higher. Today brings an update on new home sales after sales of existing homes edged a little bit higher last month. It was the fastest pace this year, but shy of analyst expectations.
So the April number was an improvement, but it's not strong. We need to see better numbers than this to say the housing market's out of the woods. But still, it's the first month this year where there's been an increase, and so you need to take the good news where you can find it.
David Burson is with Nationwide. Uber, whose mobile app is aimed at helping you hire drivers, is calling on a group of large fund managers to raise around $500 million. The five-year-old company is talking with several firms for an investment that could value this startup at more than $12 billion. Cox Communications becomes the largest U.S. cable company to say it will launch a super-fast, high-speed internet service for residential customers. Company plans to invest hundreds of of millions of dollars on the rollout and start upgrading its network in Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Omaha, Nebraska, starting later this year.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Gina. 23 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. A program that fast-tracks foreigners to citizenship is under review. The program, Military Accessions Vital to the National Interest, or MAVNI, authorizes the military to enlist legal immigrants who have special language and medical skills. Typically, they're sworn in as citizens after completing basic training. Supporters say it should be ramped up because of the high caliber of people it attracts. Skeptics have concerns about security issues. The program is due to expire at the end of September if the Pentagon does not renew it. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Miriam Jordan. Miriam, explain the program.
The idea of the program is to attract immigrants or legal immigrants, but who do not have green cards in the United States, but who have strategic languages that the military is looking for, languages that are unusual, like Azerbaijani, or languages like that are spoken in the mountains of Afghanistan or in Pakistan. And so individuals who have these language skills and who pass certain entrance exams and security checks can become citizens quite quickly, and this is possibly the fastest route to citizenship because these folks don't even have to wait, for a green card. That step is skipped altogether. Once they've completed their basic training, they are typically sworn in as naturalized citizens.
And this also works for people with medical skills?
Right. The program is also designed to attract immigrants who have medical skills that are in short supply among Army personnel, such as, dentists and doctors. They also must have strategic language skills, but yes, they have also been enlisting through this program.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Miriam Jordan. Is the future of the program in doubt at this time?
The program is a Pentagon program that needs to be renewed by the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. It's quite likely that it will be renewed. There are folks in the military who really find the program to be successful that would like to see the program become permanent, but that would require our lawmakers to pass legislation that would make this program, a lifelong, long-term program. At the moment, that doesn't look like it's going to happen because we have been stalling on our efforts to reform our immigration laws more broadly. The main argument in favor of the program is that it creates a repository of committed individuals with specialized language skills that the military values. Instead of hiring locals in a particular country who are not attached to our military to serve as interpreters on the ground, we can count on individuals who we have trained ourselves to, play that important role.
Thanks, Miriam. Wall Street Journal reporter Miriam Jordan. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
When I was pregnant, I got more advice than I knew what to do with. What I needed was information I could trust on how to take care of me and my baby. Luckily, United Healthcare has a simple program that helps moms stay on track with their doctors and get the right care and guidance before and after the baby is born. Simple is good right now.
Innovations that work for you. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm.
Powered by the most trusted name in journalism, you're listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for being with us. It is Friday, May 23rd. Gordon Deal sitting alongside Gina Cervetti just ahead of this Memorial Day weekend. Coming up this half hour, the House easily approves a bill overhauling an NSA spy program. You'll hear one of the major changes. Also, parts of scenic Arizona in the north threatened by a wildfire that includes parts near Sedona, and new pressure on the Redskins to change their name. We'll have that report in about 15 minutes. Time now for a travel update. And it's brought to you by BASF, the chemical company, creating chemistry for a sustainable future. As you know, Memorial Day weekend is the kickoff of summer road trip season, and top of everyone's minds once again are summer gas prices. What are we looking at in the coming weeks when we pull up to the pump? A preview from Joe Doe, economics analyst at TheStreet.com. Joe, give us an idea of what's ahead.
We may be hitting a top here over the Memorial Day weekend. Prices in the most recent report from the EIA were about $3.67 a gallon. Now, before people in the West Coast get angry and say, well, it's more pricey out here, that is true. Out, including California and the West Coast, you're paying about $4.02 per gallon. But I've been talking to a few analysts, and they're saying, listen, this was not such a surprise because the refineries didn't expect for such a cold winter. So they were slow to the uptake to begin refining more gasoline. And so we're seeing a little bit of a hit here at the beginning of the summer, so the Memorial Day weekend. But maybe people should feel a little bit more at peace because they're expecting these prices to fall off as the refiners are going to start meeting demand needs. And prices should probably move a little bit lower headed into June, July, and August.
Yeah, but what happened to the days of, like, you know, $1.89? How we just exploded, I felt like.
The days of $1.89 are probably a thing of the past. We're looking at $100 a barrel oil. That's not something that's just going to suddenly drop. And despite the huge shale boom that's happened, that's not going to cause a significant drop in prices either. At this point, people who are still looking for the days of, I mean, certainly what I remember of the 90s, you know, and even, I guess, maybe the early 2000s of dollar plus gas, you know, under $2, that's not something we really should be looking at.
We're speaking with Joe Doe, economic analyst at The Street. We're talking about summer gas prices. Boy, and we pin that all on demand, worldwide demand.
Well, I think we pin it on a lot of different things. We here in the U.S. and we've in fact seen more demand. Even though we're having more production, we're also not producing far too much. We don't have a glut of production in shale. Overall, we've hit a point at which we know how much we need to produce. We think we know how much we need to produce at different times. And the demand out there is that, yeah, you're still seeing high demand for oil products. This isn't going away anytime soon. And certainly if we break away from gasoline in our automobiles and start talking about energy use and different types of energy choices, it doesn't look like anytime soon that renewables are in any meaningful way going to displace the oil space. So for now, unfortunately, I think the average consumer is going to have to look at $100 barrel of oil as kind of the regular price that we're going to be seeing up on the board.
All right, so that said, we still want to obviously keep as much gas money as possible from exiting our wallets. What's the best way to save?
It's actually kind of simple. The biggest one probably is observing the speed limit. I was actually on the government's website. The Department of Energy has a really interesting little interactive graphic that you can use where you choose your vehicle. And so if you drive on average, if you're on the highway driving about 50 miles an hour, you're getting the proper miles per gallon. But if you start speeding over that, I mean, think about it. If you start going 80 miles per hour, that same gallon of that same price, $3.67 a gallon, you're actually going to end up spending more because you're using it quicker.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe Doe, economics analyst at TheStreet.com. 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. This is usually the time of the program every week where we feature things we're searching for most on Google, like boobs, babes, butts. Oh, sorry, that's my own search history I was reading there. My mistake. Hashtag awkward. Hey, today we've got a little Memorial Day weekend theme for our searches. We're joined live by Google Trends expert Zaina Aston. Zaina, what are some searches related to Memorial Day?
Right. Well, summer unofficially kicks off this weekend, and people are taking advantage of the holiday to barbecue with friends or get out of town. So three of the trends that we have been seeing around this weekend. First off, barbecue. And interestingly enough, searches for barbecue are 10 times higher around Memorial Day than they are around the 4th of July. People are looking for good barbecue recipes for burgers. So there's a healthy bent to this as well. You know, people are looking for turkey burgers, for paleo burgers, and more. And some of the top snack searches include deviled eggs, guacamole, and chicken wings, in case you need some suggestions for this weekend's menu.
Like it. You know what I've started doing recently? Chicken burgers, like chicken patties, as an alternative to the turkey, for example, for lean meat.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I try and do a variety. You know, I always do a bit of veggie burgers just for those people who don't eat meat.
Yeah.
But, you know, try and get some chicken burgers in there as well.
Do you consider yourself a grill master?
Oh, a grill master in training.
Okay.
I'm still working on it.
I'm with you. I still have to set alarms everywhere. Like the alarm on my watch, I set one on the microwave because I'll forget. You know, it's 5 minutes on each side. 20 minutes later, after playing with the kids, I'll be like, didn't I put something on the grill? That's paying attention is part of my issue. What else are we searching for?
Well, people have also been coming to Google to find out the meaning behind Memorial Day and the difference between it and Veterans Day. So this is actually something that I looked up myself, and it seems Memorial Day is for remembering and honoring military personnel who died in service. And Veterans Day is a day set aside to thank and honor all those who have served, both in wartime and in peace.
Yeah.
We see a lot of activity, people trying to find out the what's behind this celebration this weekend, this day.
All right, we're speaking with Google Trends expert Zaina Aston. She's with us live this morning. How about, like, if you're traveling this weekend, what are we looking at?
Yes. So, you know, I think people have been searching for a lot of travel-related items, such as activities to do at your destination, whether it's Memorial Day specific, you know, parades that might be happening in the town that they're going to visit, but also, you know, traffic as well, you know, how the roads are going to be. As this weekend, a lot of people do go out of town. It can be, you know, it's good to plan ahead. And I think we can agree that what's most important is spending as little time getting to the destination as possible. So I would suggest, you know, download our new Google Maps app to take advantage of some of our new features, which are things like lane guidance that will actually tell you which lane to drive in to be most efficient, automatic rerouting, and transit features that will help you escape the traffic and get to the beach quite quickly.
All right, so explain that. So it has traffic features on it with real-time info?
With real-time info, yes. So if you download the Google Maps app to your mobile phone, you can have it running. It'll give you directions, turn-by-turn directions, but it'll also give you suggestions such as, you know, if your exit's coming up, you may want to change into the right lane. So lane guidance in that way. Automatic rerouting. So if you find that there is a traffic jam, you can leave your route and it'll tell you how to get back to it. And lastly, transit features. You know, perhaps you're not taking the roads, you're going to be taking a train. It'll tell you what times the train leaves. It'll tell you the last train of the day as well, in case you want to plan your schedule around that. It can be really helpful in terms of planning the actual trip part.
Very good. Excellent. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, as always. Google Trends expert Zaina Aston. It is 14 minutes before the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Good Friday morning. Thanks for being with us. 11 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back. She has America's first news.
Good morning. In northern Arizona, more than 3,000 residents have been put on pre-evacuation notice and told they must be prepared to leave their homes if a major wildfire gets any closer. Officials have estimated the blaze was just a few miles away. Hundreds of firefighters have been at the scene trying to gain control of this fire that broke out in steep terrain and has been fueled by strong gusty winds. The U.S. House has approved a bill that overhauls the NSA's controversial telephone surveillance program. It restructures the way the agency collects and searches our phone records during terrorism investigations.
Today's strong bipartisan vote in the House on the USA Freedom Act bans the bulk collection of Americans' records.
Bob Goodlatte. 50 senators, all Democrats, are urging NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to change the name of the Washington Redskins, saying it is racist and it is time to replace it. A spokesman for Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell says Republicans were not asked to participate, although Cantwell later said she was inviting the GOP to sign the letter or write their own. Several Democrats did not sign on, including Tim Kaine and Mark Warner. Toyota is recalling more than 430,000 vehicles, including some Sienna, Highlander, and Lexus GS models. The problems affecting these vehicles involve cables on spare tire carriers and also an issue with the front passenger seatbelt. Connecticut's attorney general says his office is looking into the cyber attack on eBay, and eBay says don't pay attention to published lists claiming to show which user accounts were hacked. eBay says those lists are not legitimate. TechCrunch reported that they were showing up online, but eBay says go to its website, change your password. U.S. stock futures this morning are edging higher after a positive close. The Dow was up 10 points. S&P 500 added 4 and the NASDAQ 23. Advances were led by small cap and high growth company shares. Financial advisor Hugh Johnson is based in Albany, New York.
This is a different kind of a market where we're going up a little and down a little. I think the principal reason for that is because of valuation.
Today, Asian markets were higher. We have an update on new home sales. That comes out about a half hour after the opening bell. South Carolina police won't be frozen out in their search for a man who allegedly assaulted an ice cream truck driver with his treat. According to media reports, the 37-year-old ice cream vendor told police the man assaulted her with his fudge bar because he believed his daughter had been given the wrong change.
Oh, I hate that, getting assaulted with a fudge bar. Ever that happened? It's just messy.
I haven't, but if it's stains. Really frozen hard, Gordon, you know, yeah. It might hurt a little bit. And by the way, she says the daughter was given the correct change.
Ah, yes. Very good. Thank you, Gina. 7 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. If you're having a big backyard party this summer and are looking to book Bruce Springsteen to headline your patio stage, it should come as no surprise. That's going to cost you. But the price tag for some of your other favorite artists may surprise you. Details from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin.
Well, Gordon, Priceonomics.com recently published some data revealing the asking price to book hundreds of musical acts. This data comes from a booking agency who provided the website with this data through an anonymous source. Near the top of the list, the aforementioned Bruce Springsteen, along with Dave Matthews Band, Justin Bieber, Madonna, and Taylor Swift at over $1 million each for a gig. Willie Nelson and Dierks Bentley come in at around $100,000, which actually seems kind of like a bargain to me.
Jeez, right.
Compared to those. Now, if you're on more of a budget and are looking to spend $50,000 to $100,000 for your party, you could score the likes of B.B. King, Darius Rucker, Goo Goo Dolls, or Casey and the Sunshine Band. Now, the biggest bargain on that list, I think, Dropkick Murphys at $50,000. Imagine having Dropkick Murphys out of your house. Now, that would be a party.
I'd pay that for Darius Rucker. I'm a Darius Rucker fan.
A difference of opinion. Gina would pay it for the Dropkick Murphys,
yes,
sure.
Yes.
Now, if you only have 20 to 30 grand to spend, no problem. If you're a big fan of Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Everclear, The Wailers, or Coolio. You're shaking your head, no?
How is he still drawing 20 to 30 grand? Same thing for Everclear. Not quite a one-hit wonder, but Everclear is like a two-hit wonder. Right?
See, again, I think the Coolio party would be amazing. I think that would be fantastic, I'm opening up my pool this weekend. I'm thinking of calling up and booking Coolio for my party. Now, Gordon, in the 1 to 10,000 range, as you might imagine, that's populated with a lot of one-hit wonders and American Idol quarterfinalists. But if you can't afford the million-dollar price tag for the Dave Matthews Band, you could score the Dave Matthews Tribute Band for about $5,000 or so.
Is that right? Very good. Your flashback to Everclear. That song Santa Monica always comes to mind for me. I don't want to be your downtime. I don't want to be your stupid game.
That reminds me of summer. That song comes on and it's just summertime all over again.
You saw them? You saw them live?
Yeah, I saw them a couple of years ago. Saw Everclear live, or what remains of Everclear now. It's basically Art Alexakis and it's like four other dudes.
And you almost fell asleep watching them?
Almost.
Not a great live
band. It wasn't the best live show I've ever seen, but and it's been a few years for Art and the gang, but it was good to reminisce. Let's put it that way.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. That'll do it for this hour. For Gina Cervetti, Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal for the Wall Street Journal This Morning.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Thanks for listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning. For more, follow The Wall Street Journal This Morning on Facebook and Twitter, and now on TuneIn.